I used to love my morning coffee until it stopped loving me back. The bloating, the discomfort, it just wasn't worth it anymore. Then I found Everyday Dose, coffee with benefits. It's real coffee blended with mushrooms, collagen, and nootropics. Now I get my morning ritual without the crash or the discomfort. The Black Friday sale is on. Get 61% off your first coffee plus starter kit, a free A2 probiotic creamer, and over $100 in free gifts. Plus, you could win $100 cash or even get your entire order refunded. Head to everydaydose.com/podcast or use code podcast at checkout.
This is The Joe Gaither Show on BamaCentral.com.
Good morning, Tuscaloosa. Good morning, Tuscaloosa, Internet World, West Alabama. How are we doing today on a football Friday? We are now one day away from Alabama kicking it off against the Tennessee Volunteers. The third Saturday in October is 24 hours away, and you're watching the next edition of the Joe Gaither Show on Bama Central, BamaCentral.com. You're watching us on the Bama Central YouTube channel, listening to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon, wherever you get your podcasts. You can find the Joe Gaither Show on Bama Central, and we're going to have a lot of fun doing our normal Football Friday routine. But before we get into our Alabama keys to the game and players to watch and make our picks for the weekend, we're going to be joined by Tennessee Volunteers on SI writer Caleb Sisk. You can follow Caleb Sisk at Caleb_Sisk_National. Recruiting reporter for the On SI Network. So he is our colleague with the On SI Network. You listen and read us on Alabama Crimson Tide On SI. So we're excited to get to know the Tennessee Volunteers, and then we will make our picks for the weekend. We'll have our three players to watch and name our keys to the game with all our friends right here on a Football Friday. Before we get into it with Caleb Sisk, we want to remind you the program is brought to you by Derek Daniel State Farm Insurance. You can call Derek for all of your insurance needs at 205-758-3391. Like a good neighbor, Derek Daniel is there. You can call all his buddies. He's got Bobby, Lane, and Red upstairs right now waiting to take your phone call, give you an auto insurance quote, home, life, auto insurance quote. All your insurance needs can be met by Derek Daniel State Farm Insurance. Call and see how much Derek can save you today at 205-758-3391. And we're also brought to you by Strength Roofing and Siding. When severe weather strikes, your roof is your home's first line of defense. So call Strength Roofing and Siding at 205-858-9050 for your free roof inspection. My friend Zach Guffey will come out and inspect your roof. Make sure you're ready for this winter season. Give him a call today, 205-858-9050. So let's get right into it. Let's kick off the program with Caleb Sisk. Let's get to know the Tennessee Vols. We've been doing it all week long, looking at all their games, looking at their strengths, looking at their weaknesses. But now we will go inside Tennessee with the Tennessee Volunteers On SI writer Caleb Sisk. You can find him at Caleb_Sisk. Caleb, what's going on? How are we doing today, sir?
I'm doing good, man. How's it going?
Oh, very, very good. You excited for this big old game, third Saturday in October?
Oh, yeah. It's always a blast to see these two powerhouses and what has become a powerhouse for both teams. It's always fun to watch this rivalry game.
Absolutely. So let's get right into it. Tennessee 5-1, Alabama 5-1, Alabama an 8.5-point favorite this coming weekend. Let's start with maybe a big picture for Tennessee. It got jumped on top of Georgia, but Georgia came back and ultimately won that game in overtime. Tennessee winning its last two SEC contests, going on the road, beating Mississippi State in overtime, a big-time drive to tie the game late in the ball game, and then going into overtime. And then able to kind of wrangle the Arkansas Razorbacks and beat them as well. What have been your overall thoughts on the season for the Tennessee Vols?
Yeah, I mean, the Tennessee Volunteers, man, it's a young team. This team is more so underclassmen, and that's been kind of the story of the season. You know, they have a lot of great defensive players. They have a lot of great offensive players, but they can't stay healthy either. So you see a lot of these young guys having to step up and having to step in bigger roles, which is something that, you know, we talked about during the offseason, is they're very razor thin, at least we thought. And some of these younger guys, they're stepping up and doing their job. So, you know, you definitely have to work with these guys a little bit more than typical. But overall, I think this Tennessee team in general, they have done a great job. I think they're kind of on pace for what you would expect, especially for a team that's I seen a statistic that came out that they're 49.5% freshmen. So this is a very young team. So mistakes are going to come with that young team, but at the same time, I think they limited the mistakes so far. Two close wins in the SEC. That's, you know, that's something that can get by with certain teams and something that won't be able to get by with other teams. A very close loss against the Georgia Bulldogs in a game that was just a heartbreaker for the Tennessee Volunteers. So overall, I just think this team is in a good spot, both offensively and defensively. But at the same time, you know, they're going to have to step it up when they get into these bigger games.
Well, let's go in under center, because a lot was made this offseason with the loss of Nico Iamaliava and then the addition of Joey Aguilar, basically the swap. What have you thought of Joey Aguilar? He is leading the conference, in passing, and really has been dialing up things pretty nicely for Tennessee. How have you thought Joey has played this season, and what is your expectations for him going up against the Alabama defense this Saturday?
You know, when you play a defense that's just historically great, like the Alabama Crimson Tide, and that's something that I've always knew growing up and everything, is just this Alabama defense, you know, it's just a step up when it comes to the defensive factor scheme and players that they have there. So Aguilar's going to have to do his job here. He's going to have to limit the mistakes, which is something that, you know, a big headline going into this season is, can Aguilar limit the mistakes that he was making at Appalachian State when he gets to Tennessee? So far, 5 interceptions. That's something that, you know, you look at and you're like, oh, that's not so great. But at the same time, when you look at how these interceptions happen, you can understand a few of them's just him trying to make a play. And that's something that, you know, when you look back at Nico Iamaliava, despite some of the good things that he did have, he was very cautious with certain passes that he was trying to make. But with Aguilar, this is something that, you know, he's the polar opposite. He's a guy that you're going to have to tell him to, you know, hold back just a little bit. Compared to Nico, he's a guy that you're like, okay, you got to let this thing go eventually. So, you know, I definitely think from a standpoint watching this Tennessee team, I think Aguilar fits the system very well. I think he's doing his job. When you mentioned he leads the SEC in passing, and that says a lot, especially considering he's a guy that just jumped up in competition from Appalachian State. So I definitely think he's doing a great job, especially considering he's got a bunch of young guys around him. So he's a leader, and I think he needs to carry over that leadership mentality when it comes to traveling and playing on the road, especially at a place like, you know, Alabama, which is always very hostile, especially when the Volunteers roll into town.
Let's go into the backfield right behind him or beside Joey Aguilar. You got Deshaun Bishop, Star Thomas, and Peyton Lewis. I watched the ball game against Arkansas this past Saturday, and Deshaun Bishop ended up taking kind of a tackle, looked like a hip drop tackle late in the game, and came out of the ball game. He's listed as probable for this week's game, leading the Volunteers in rushing. What do you think is going to happen? Is Bishop going to give it a go? Is he going to be able to play? And then if he can't play, or if he can play, how does Star Thomas and Peyton Lewis kind of fit into this rushing puzzle?
You know, and I think you touched on it right there too. You mentioned Star Thomas and Peyton Lewis. This whole trio has been very good, considering the simple fact that they can stay more fresh than typical running back rooms. Darrell Sims has had this running back room at an all-time high, and that's been something that's been carried over. You look at a team like last year where they had Dylan Sampson, or, you know, even before Dylan Sampson, you have guys like Jalen Wright or Jabari Small. So now you're looking at this running back room, and there's plenty of talent. But as for Deshaun Bishop, he had a career-high game against Arkansas, something to carry a lot of momentum over. He had 146 yards in that game rushing and on only 14 attempts. Math tells us, you know, that's over 10 yards per carry. He's getting a first down every time he touches the football. So that was definitely something to be proud of if you're a Tennessee fan or a Tennessee coach especially. He's probable for this game. If I was a betting man, I'd say he probably is good to go. The coaches seem very optimistic at the fact that he should be able to play in this one. And he's going to get a good bit of carries, if I was to imagine, just simply based off the fact that he is arguably your best back on this team. Star Thomas hasn't really seen as many carries as he was towards the beginning of the season. You know, that's something to pay attention to, because if Thomas gets out there and he does his job, I think you have to give the ball to the player who's on his best at that time, and that's something that Tennessee is starting to do more as the season progresses. Peyton Lewis stepped up huge once Bishop went down. You know, he had two touchdowns in the game-winning run, which was only 1 yard, but that was the biggest run of the game. You know, it ices the game. It puts, you know, Arkansas hopes down, and that's exactly what you want when you want to, you know, win a football game. You got to do what it takes, and Peyton Lewis did a great job right there. But overall, this rushing attack, Tennessee wants to be able to run the football. They don't want to have to pass the ball every play or pass the ball on all these big downs. They want to be able to run the football, and, you know, that opens up the offense overall. And, you know, if they can run the ball very well, then Joey Aguilar will definitely like more of what he sees when it comes to passing.
When he does pass, the Tennessee Vols have great receivers, and really led by Chris Brazil. And so I want to know, kind of on the whole, one, what happened in the Arkansas game specifically that limited Chris Brazil? Only one catch, 5 yards against the Razorbacks. But Braylon Staley really stepped up in that contest, going over 100 yards. He took a little bit of a knock as well late in the game, it seemed like. But Brazil, Braylon Staley, and Mike Matthews, who are some of the guys that Joey Aguilar is going to be throwing to? And if you could, speak on Miles Kitzelman and his impact on the offense, the Alabama transfer. He was the Tennessee representative up in the SEC media days. It seems like every time I put the tape on, he's getting some action. What's his impact been like? So what are the pass catchers going to bring to this game?
Yeah, I mean, just touching on those four guys in general, you know, Brazel, he's a guy that was used and is used on the outside. He's been the veteran leadership in this wide receiver room. He wasn't as active when it comes to the Arkansas game. There was a lot of situations where he was double teamed. There was a lot of situations where he was just, you know, put in his own little area, which just eventually opened up the slot receiver, which is, you know, Braylon Staley right there. So Braylon Staley did a great job. I think that Braylon Staley could make a case for being the MVP of that game, just how much it opened up the pass game, especially for a guy like Miles Kitzelman, who, you know, he stepped up huge in that game. He's someone that you're going to get the best of both worlds when it comes to blocking and when it comes to receiving. I know at Alabama, he was a guy that, you know, wasn't very flashy when it comes to the receiving game. That's something that kind of more so developed when he went to Tennessee. And he's quickly become a leader for this team, and I think he stepped up in a huge way. This is a situation where they're going to want to get him involved against the Alabama Crimson Tide, especially with blocking, because that defense is just very physical up front and something that the Tennessee Volunteers will look to, you know, limit, as they want to be able to win this physical battle. But, you know, you got these younger guys, and Alabama's got a great group of guys, very disciplined on the defensive side. So a guy like Kitzelman, you know, almost seems like he has to step up just simply based off the fact that he is a leader. He is someone that's coming back for a final year. You know, he's here for his final year. So this is definitely something where I could definitely see him being involved both, you know, in the run game very heavily, and also in the pass game just as a boundary to throw when it comes to short routes or anything of that nature. I don't think you're going to see Kitzelman running deep on a streak, but at the same time, he may be a guy that, you know, you need a quick pass on 3rd and 4. He may be a guy that you throw it to.
But Tennessee is tied for 8th in the country, only 4 sacks allowed the entire season. So nothing happens without the big men up front. We all remember the recruitment of David Sanders and the transferring of Lance Hurd a year ago from LSU. What does this offensive line bring to the game? And are there any injuries? I did see Jesse Perry kind of taking a small injury in the past game. Is he going to be okay for this matchup? What do you see in Tennessee's offensive line?
You know, they've stepped up in a very huge way. I think for the most part, they kept Aguilar and have kept Aguilar's jersey clean, which has been very huge. You know, it's limited any type of fumbles or anything of that nature. You've seen how they reacted, especially with a guy like Bishop getting a bunch of big carries and, you know, obviously pushing forward with Peyton Lewis to win that football game. They've been the quiet bunch that, you know, maybe not a lot of people are talking about, but at the same time, I think they've done their job very well. I think a lot of people would agree and say they've done their job very well. Jesse Perry has been a huge addition to this Tennessee offensive line. I anticipate him to be ready to go. I don't think he was on the injury report. So I do think he's ready to go. David Sanders has had his number called multiple times. He stepped up in a huge way since coming back from injury. He was injured for quite some time, made his debut a couple weeks ago, which is huge for the Tennessee Volunteers, especially with anything that they, you know, any type of subs that they need to make and stuff. You know, even if he isn't rolling out there in the first team, you got to expect him to roll out there and do some big things. He's been very impressive, and he's definitely earned more reps, and so has Jesse Perry at the same time. So it's been kind of hard to get both of those guys on the field with Lance Hurd out there. But, you know, you got to think the future of this offensive line is very bright with those two guys.
We're hanging out with Caleb Sisk. He's the one of the writers for the Vols on SI Network. And you can follow him at @CalebSisk_. You can read him. Just type in Vols on SI as part of the on SI Network. Caleb, I really appreciate you hanging out with us today. Let's flip it to the other side of the ball, the defensive side of the ball, which has had a lot of question marks under Tim Banks. You're generating the most sacks in the SEC, but the Tennessee Vols are last in passing yards allowed. Kind of middle of the pack in rushing yards allowed, really, really suspect defense in some areas, but a lot of havoc plays as well. You saw him get two defensive touchdowns against Mississippi State and really, what, force three or four turnovers against the Arkansas Razorbacks. So what's really been the story of this Tennessee defense? Really got torched against Georgia, made some adjustments. What have you seen covering Tennessee this season?
Yeah, I mean, you know, the main thing to talk about is this is a very young core, once again, back in the defensive back room when it comes to the secondary. You got a bunch of new faces when it comes to starters. You're missing your best, arguably your best defensive player in Jermon McCoy. He's out for this one, and you're also missing your secondary, I would say your second best cornerback. And Ricky Gibson, he's also out in this one. So typically you're going to have to roll some new guys out there. You're rolling out a first-round projected draft pick who was set to be the backup to those two guys with Colton Hood, and then you're rolling out Ty Redmond. So them two guys have really stepped up in a major way, especially considering, you know, they've had to step up in a bigger role than what they were anticipating, and they've been very impressive. Unfortunately for this Tennessee defense, they have given up a lot of different – big type of plays or just chunk plays, turning plays into something. And, you know, that's not typical of this Tennessee defense, especially when you look at the past two seasons, which they've had a great defense and almost kind of, I guess you could say, a little bit different considering the fact that, you know, you got a guy like Josh Heupel at head coach. You would think that this is an offensive team, and this year it is. But the past two seasons prior to this one, you know, you got to look at the fact that it was a defensive heavy team. So now that you have these injuries, things have been a little bit shaky, but at the same time, there's still some things to like. You got David Hobbs back against Arkansas. He came up huge. He's going to be a huge factor in this one. You got one of the best edge rushers in the country with Joshua Josephs. And then you got guys behind him like Caleb Herring or Jordan Ross who have stepped up huge in their season so far. And this is one of the most dangerous edge rushing rosters that I've seen in quite some time from the Tennessee Volunteers. And that's a little bit of a hot take, especially considering they just had James Pierce go in the NFL draft within the first round. So I would definitely say they're at their best when they're rushing the quarterback and getting to the quarterback when they're able to get home. But at the same time, you know, you got to trust in your linebackers and you got to trust in your secondary to be able to make some plays, and they've made some plays, but you know, they got to limit the mistakes at the same time. Very young core, so you got to expect it. But at the same time, when you talk about Alabama's wide receiver core, they're going to have a very tough time stopping that wide receiver core. So they just really got to limit the mistakes.
We're hanging out with Caleb Sisk, and really what I have seen, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but the defense has kind of gone from on the back end, a lot of man coverage, a lot of one-on-one stuff, to the last couple of weeks, Mississippi State, and particularly against Arkansas, a lot more zone coverage, a lot more cover three action, kind of zone blitzing, bringing havoc, trying to generate those pressures and generate those sacks. Do you think that that's an effort to kind of give the back end a little bit more of a chance? Or what have you seen as far as the adjustments or evolution of Tim Banks' defensive game plans this season?
Yeah, I think they've just really looked to bandage up some of the holes there that, you know, maybe they have been able to see, because this team has definitely changed their presence a little bit on the defensive side. But at the same time, they're still going to run man. They're still going to go out there and trust in their guys to win one-on-one coverages and things of that nature. That's something that you would see a lot more of, especially if you have a guy like Jermaine McCoy out there or Ricky Gibson out there. But with them guys not being available and both of them being out for this game, I would definitely anticipate them to run some zone coverage. But I would bet, especially considering Bernard's comments, that maybe they do roll out there in some man coverage and try to go play some defense in what is considered by him the field of dreams. So we'll see how that definitely goes. That's definitely something that's bulletin board material. But at the same time, you got to trust in a coach like Willie Martinez, who's going to roll these guys out there and hope for the best when it comes to the secondary. But at the same time, yeah, if they're in some zone, that's definitely something that could work, especially when you got the edge rushers and the defensive linemen to be able to get back there anyways.
We're hanging out with Caleb Sisk from Vols on SI. Caleb, Tennessee hasn't won in Tuscaloosa since, I think, 2003. So let's put our coaching hat on, or ask you to put your coaching hat on. Tennessee wins this game for the first time since 2003 in Tuscaloosa if they do what?
I think if they keep their foot on Alabama's neck, really. I think if Tennessee jumps out to the lead, they cannot be – I don't want to say complacent, but I guess the right word would be conservative. You cannot continue to be conservative in certain situations. This is something that they need to avoid because, as mentioned, you know, they won two close games in the SEC and they've lost a close game in the SEC. So all three of their SEC games have been close. This one very well could be close. I would bet that a lot of people think this one's going to be close. And with that being said, you know, you got to take any lead that you get and any opportunity that you get to go score, you need to go score. Because until that clock runs out and, you know, people are celebrating, that game is still in play. And this game can go any way and it can turn around very quickly. And this is something that we've seen covering this game for quite some time now. So, you know, Tennessee's got to win this one if they want to be able to push their playoff hopes up even more. Regardless, if they lose, as long as they win out, you very well could see this team in the playoffs. But a huge win here would be huge for them and any momentum that they want to have, especially considering the playoffs, which really wasn't a consideration for many when it comes to entering the season just based off the amount of people that they lost to the transfer portal. But, you know, as mentioned, playing in Tuscaloosa has been very haunting for this Tennessee team and Tennessee program. You definitely got to imagine they want this one. And I'm sure they come in here and try to fight with an edge, but we will see how things go. But I definitely think that if they get any type of momentum early, that they just need to stay on top of it. They can't afford any mistakes. And that's definitely something else to talk about. They got to limit the mistakes on offense and that defensive back room, especially with the safeties and stuff. They can't allow anything over top and they're going to have to go make some plays.
So, Caleb, on Football Friday, we usually do three players to watch. Now, they're always Alabama players, given it's the Joe Gaither Show on Bama Central. But since you're on Friday, I'll ask you, what three players do you think that Tennessee has to watch for your balls? What three players have to step up for Tennessee or have to have a big game? Or if you're writing, I mean, you are writing for the Vols on SI, who do you think has to be the subjects of your stories on Saturday night if Tennessee is going to be winning?
Yeah, that's very difficult. I think we touched on one. I think Miles Kitzelman is probably the first player who comes to mind just simply based off the fact that he is so important when it comes to running the football. He's so important when it comes to the short yardage gains that you need to just move the chains and things of that nature, especially in the red zone. He's such a good red zone tight end. That's something that I didn't have the chance to touch on really earlier. That I probably should have touched on. He's a guy that you can trust in the red zone very heavily. So I think he's definitely someone that needs to step up. Another player that really needs to step up in this one, and I think he very well could, is, Jeremiah Tielander. He's been the kind of, I don't want to say shadow, but he's been the sidekick to Arian Carter. Arian Carter's getting a lot of the attention. He's been a very good middle linebacker for the Tennessee Volunteers. So I definitely think Jeremiah Tielander, if he steps up huge, and especially if he can step up in a way that, you know, Arian Carter has within the past few weeks, I think Tennessee will be in a great position across the middle on that defensive side. And the last one that comes to mind, just simply based off the fact that he is not only used on the defensive side, but also in special teams and in returns, I got to go with Boo Carter. That's a guy that plays star for the Tennessee Volunteers. So he's going to have a tough task, anything that they want to do on end of rounds or anything that's running right at them, you got to ask them to make a play. If they're going to go short, you got to ask them to make a play. If they're going to target their slot, you got to ask them to make a play. And then, of course, if, you know, Alabama's punting this football and gives Pooh Carter the chance to return, he is a very dangerous return man. So I anticipate him to be a guy that's going to look to fight for those extra 2-3 yards just because it's going to help this Tennessee team. So those are three players that I really think could step up or should step up. Obviously, I feel like the easy answers would be like a guy like Brazel or a guy like Aguilar, but I think these three definitely need to step up.
I love it. That's exactly the spirit of Football Friday. Don't take the lowest hanging fruit. Take the most important answers. I love that. So, Caleb, we appreciate your time hanging out here. But everybody can go follow him at CalebSisk_. Make sure you read him on Balls on SI. As Tennessee's coming to Tuscaloosa tomorrow night. We cannot wait for it. 6:30 right there in the stadium. You'll be able to see the Bama coverage on BamaCentral.com and the Tennessee coverage on Balls on SI. Caleb, thanks so much for your time, man. We really, really appreciate it.
Yes, sir. Anytime. Thank you.
Absolutely. And we're going to keep things rolling on the program with the rest of our Football Friday right after we tell you about Strength Roofing and Siding. Strength Roofing and Siding, Strength Roofing and Siding is backed by 45 years of expertise, tens of thousands of roof installs, and over 400 five-star customer reviews. Strength Roofing and Siding offers our customers the highest quality materials, fast install times, and market-leading extended warranties. Our Tuscaloosa roofing experts provide expert residential roof replacements and comprehensive repair services for homeowners across greater Tuscaloosa area and in Mississippi. You can call them today at 205-858-9050 to schedule your free inspection. Zach Guffey will come out and let you know what's going on with your roof and give you the peace of mind. We really appreciate Strength Roofing and Siding for sponsoring the program. We'll continue with Football Friday right after this. And we're back here on a Football Friday. Before we keep things going, we want to remind you, we are finally back live in the Derek Daniels State Farm Studios. You can call Derek for all of your insurance needs at 205-758-3391. Like a good neighbor, Derek Daniel is there. We're going to be having a great Football Friday in the Derek Daniels State Farm Studios, and you can do so by calling him today at 205-758-3391. Lane, Bobby, Red are upstairs. They would love to take your phone call, give you a quick auto insurance quote, home, life, auto insurance, renter's insurance, boater insurance, really everything you need in the insurance realm, Derek Daniel could take care of you. So call him today at 205-758-3391. Like a good neighbor, Derek Daniel is there. Let's keep things going. You see our friends. We've got Henry Scalar right here in the studio. You can follow Theo at Theo_. You can follow Henry Scalar at Henry O. Scalar. On the Twitter machine. Follow both those guys. They're doing great work for Bama Central right here. Alabama Crimson Tide on SI. Before we get them to the program, we're going to turn our attention to the voicemail line. We've got voicemails ready to predict this Alabama Tennessee game. I know my man Dak on the voicemail line. I know Mason has called in. I've been missing Mason all week long. We haven't suspended Cam Call and asked for another apology. You can call on the voicemail line at 205-462-7340. Extension 800. Cam, Mason called because he got your voicemail. He's leaving his apology again to Ty Simpson, and we'll get him off suspension next week. So here's our voicemail predicting this week's third Saturday in October.
Guys, it is Dax. Happy Football Friday. Third Saturday in October is tomorrow, and I think we are going to handle the balls with relative ease. Knock on wood. So here's where the game is won. If the offensive line can get its freaking crap together, that would be amazing for this game because Tennessee is leading the SEC in sacks, yet they're like 125th in pass defense. I don't know how that makes sense, but it's true. Ty Simpson, when he has time, will find the right read. He's already done that against a bunch of defenses this year, especially against the secondary. He's going to do it. He's going to do it. We're going to gash him a couple times. More than a couple. I just know it because our wide receiver core is so dang good and our quarterback is so dang accurate. We just got to give him time. Ty needs time a little bit. I mean, he needs less every game that he plays because he learns. Oh, man, if Ty gets a little bit of time in this game, we are going to, like, send it down Tennessee's gullet. It's going to be nice. I think Ty's going to get him up. I think Ty's going to get him a 400-yard game this time. I'm going bold. 400 yards, 4 passing touchdowns.
Dadgummit! You stole my take. Great minds think alike. Good job. Good job. You can have it. It's Max's take now. 400 yards for Tyson.
Touchdowns. You know what? Five passing touchdowns. Ty's going to have him one of those games. Because we don't have Cam Miller. Daniel Hill's getting better at pass pro. I think Kevin Riley, he needs to beef up a little bit, but I know he can find the right read to block every time. Rushing numbers, Tennessee's number 25th in rush defense. Not rush defense. They're 25th in rush offense. That's what it was. And we're like 90th, and we're 118th in explosive runs. So I think that's Tennessee's path to victory. Kane Womack, please pee in your bag. Oh, I would love it. Kane Womack's been great. He's slowly turning his narrative around just a little bit every game. So, I think we're going to put up around like 45, and I think Tennessee's going to put up like 21. So that's it. That's what I'm thinking. Bama 45, Tennessee 21. Our rushing numbers are not going to look that good, but you know what? We have Ty Simpson as quarterback, so I don't think it matters. I think Tennessee's rushing numbers are going to look halfway decent because they're going to gash us a couple times. I know it. But anyway, that's all I got for you. Roll Tide, boys.
Hey, how's it going, guys? My name is Mason Woods, longtime listener, first-time caller. I'm excited to get in here on the Joe Gaither Show. I'm here to give you my unadulterated prediction for the Alabama-Tennessee game this weekend. Now, if I'm being honest, I have not done my due diligence on the Volunteers this week, admittedly. I'm going off of what Joe Gaither has been texting me on the side. Outside of recording the show, he's been talking all kinds of trash about this Tennessee defense. So I'm gonna roll with what he's telling me, and I think I'm gonna take the Tide. I had a lot of deliberation about this earlier. I think I'm gonna go. It's really tough to call. Give me Alabama 48, and I will go Tennessee 33. I think the Tide, I think Tennessee keeps it a little close in a shootout early, but Alabama pulls it out. You get a couple stops, get a couple defensive stops late, and Alabama rolls. Give me the Tide in this one. And I've heard that there are some callers clamoring for another apology for me for Mr. Ty Simpson. Now, I thought I did a pretty good job the first time of running through my apology for Ty Simpson, but in case I did not, I would like to extend yet another apology to Ty Simpson for completely incorrectly assuming that he was going to not be as good as he is this year. He has blown my expectations out of the water. He is much better than I thought he would be, and I was incorrect, folks. Mason Woods was incorrect about Ty Simpson. I think we can maybe put it to bed now. I am absolutely rooting for him at this point in time. I was always rooting for him, people. But anyway, that's all I got for tonight. I'm happy to be looking forward to be back on the show next week. See you all then. Goodbye.
See you all then. Goodbye. I love it. I love it. I'm going to throw these on, Theo, and we're going to get rolling. Will you try to put that back to about 50%, the headphones? Yeah. All right, all right, all right. Good afternoon now that we've had a lot of time with Caleb Sisk and on our voicemail line. We have a lot of fun. We're hanging out with our guys, Henry Sklar and Theo Fernandez, in the Derek Daniels State Farm Studios. I love Dax and Mason's predictions. And yeah, Mason has, come on, he's given enough mea culpa here for his takes on Ty Simpson. And come on, you got to have somebody through the summer stirring the pot. And he was definitely doing that for us. So I really appreciate Mason. I hope he's had a great week on suspension, vacation. No. Don't unmute your mic. You're talking through this mic, not your computer mic. You're already plugged in, Henry. Golly. Can't wake up on time. Can't have his mics on, have his computer volume on. God, it's Henry Scolari. Follow him at Henry O. Scolari, workingforceabamacentral.com. I'm almost to you. I'm almost to you.
We're getting there.
I want to tell Cam something else, because Cam asked on his voicemail asking for Mason's apology what size Ty Simpson jersey he wants. It sounded like Cam was ordering Mason a Ty Simpson jersey. He didn't put it in the voicemail, but he texts me he wants a 2XL in white, road whites. Ooh, those road whites look so good. We'll see them next week as Alabama heads to South Carolina. But first things first, it's the third Saturday in October. Follow Henry Scolari, since he has to jump the gun. We'll let him in first at Henry O. Scolari. Henry, it's been too long. Give us a life update. You married? You got kids? You graduated college already? What's good? How are you?
Good to be back. It's good to be back. You know, nothing really new in my life. Just sleeping in.
You can hear yourself on the mic, can't you?
I can.
Your mic is on.
Thank you. Just sleeping in past the show every day. Me and Theo had a fun time at SEC Basketball Media Days this week, getting ready for the basketball season to start. And hopefully the chance to taste a cigar tomorrow.
But you didn't watch basketball last night. You were watching cruddy Thursday Night Football.
Hey, we have a dual screen set up in our living room. Ooh. We have a monitor and a TV. So
little LeBaron Phylon action. Phylon. The top five rappers in the world. Phylon.
I'm once again reminding you that no one gets that reference.
Only the people in my age group do. You guys don't get it. It's okay. A little Chappelle Show for you, Henry. You ever watch Chappelle Show?
I haven't, but more people my age understand the Rilo Rodriguez lyric. Yeah, I had zero LeBaron Phylon. Yeah,
that's good too. That's a good one as well. I have that song on my playlist after.
It's a great song.
It's an okay song.
I don't know about great
song. Yeah, it's okay.
Great song.
It's great because LeBaron Phylon's name in it. But as far as quality of musical sense, it's okay. You hear Theo Fernandez. We've been hearing him all week. Theo's been doing a great job really lifting extra weight as Mason Woods has been on suspension. Good morning, Theo. How you doing?
I'm doing great, Joe. Got to watch some Tide Hoops last night, so how could I not be doing good, right?
Ooh, no defense at all. What was it, 109, 105?
109, 105. Look, we're here to talk football today, but I got to say I'm excited about this team, man. Defense will be inconsistent. But would it be Alabama hoops if we didn't let random teams drop 110 on us? No, of course not. So we're going to watch teams score a lot of points on us, and we're going to love every second of it. Rebounding, mildly concerning. I'm excited to see what Noah Williamson does to improve that. But all in all, phenomenal start to the season. And LeBaron Phylon, man, All-American third team. I'm officially making that prediction now, so I'm
third
excited.
Team after last night. No, he's gonna be the top overall guard in the country.
That would be real cool. I think solo, he said
that would be cool. I don't agree.
I think, you know, solo ball will be probably one of the best guards nationally for UConn, but I could see Phylon really being up there talked about as one of the best players. As far as NBA stock goes, man, he's already starting what will be a long and steady climb, I believe, into the top 10 of this coming draft.
Well, we'll find out. Next Sunday is the next exhibition as Alabama is getting ready for the season starting November 3rd. Lots of fun last night. So if you didn't see it on YouTube, you still can. The replay is right there for you. Alabama, Florida State, you can find Ballin and Bowell. Not every team in the state can win in Bowell Arena. I understand it's very difficult. And so Alabama did. And it was, it was exciting. That's the right adjective. It was an exciting start to the season. I don't know about great. I don't know about good, but it was definitely exciting. Let's get into what we're doing here today. It's Football Friday. Alabama taking on Tennessee tomorrow, third Saturday in October. Both you guys have your cigars loaded because you're not going to be working for us in the press box. So I hope you guys have great times as students. That's excellent. And, don't inhale. Don't inhale it on Saturday night. You're supposed to just hold it in your mouth and blow it out like a cool guy. So let's just get started. What we're going to do, like we do every Football Friday, Henry knows because he listens every Football Friday, you go through keys to the game, three players to watch, and makes our picks. We want to thank Caleb Sisk for giving us his three players to watch on the Tennessee side. Follow Caleb Sisk at Caleb Sisk _ on the Twitter machine, covering the Tennessee Vols for Vols on SI. Henry Scolari, since you are the extra guest today, we want to get you going first. What are your keys to the game as Alabama's taking on the Tennessee Vols tomorrow?
Yeah, well, to start off, I think Alabama, you know, Jam Miller being probable is a great thing, but I think they're going to have to win this game through the air. I mean, we heard on the voicemail, Tennessee's passing defense is very low in the national rankings, and they're without their top NFL draft prospect cornerback, Jeremiah McCoy. Now, I'm not the biggest fan of McCoy, but that's a topic for a different day. They're without their number one cornerback, and Ty Simpson, 16 touchdown passes on the season, 15 from when the pocket is clean. So that'll go into my second key of the game. Keep Ty Simpson clean and protected. He's one of the most efficient quarterbacks in the country when he's has a clean pocket, and he's really able to sit there and fire and distribute the ball to his great, great cast of weapons. You have guys at every position who are threats in the receiving game. And then, you know, I said attack their secondary, keep their pass rush at bay. And my third key of the game, their cornerbacks have to step up. I mean, they've been shaky at points this season. We've seen it against Florida State. We've seen it against Missouri at times and Vandy at times. And every game at times, there's been shaky moments from Damani Jackson and Zabian Brown. And the test doesn't get any easier tomorrow. Chris Brazel coming in. He's been arguably the most efficient. Not arguably, he's been the most efficient wide receiver in the SEC this season.
Big play machine.
He's a big play threat on any given play. So they're going to have to limit him and keep him at bay. But those are my three keys. Limit the pass rush, attack the secondary, and stop Chris Brazel.
Boom! Well done. Welcome back, Henry Sklar. Theo Fernandez, what do you think about that? Pretty good. You want to grade him real quick before you go?
Yeah, those are good keys. And honestly, the two of them tie pretty closely. They might not be exactly mine, but they tie in pretty closely with two of mine. So you want me to just hop right into it?
Absolutely. Okay. You got the floor.
So first off, I mean, someone says this every week. I try to avoid saying it because I think it's just a cliche and easy, a cop-out. This week, I think it really applies. And for the first time, I will use turnover battle as one of my keys. It's such a cop-out normally. It's, oh, I have two keys. I don't know what I want my third one to be. Let's say turnover battle. It's kind of a cop-out here, too. I didn't really have a third one.
Oh, I appreciate you admitting it. Keep
going.
With
that being said, I am coming in, if you watched yesterday, you know, from the perspective of someone who thinks this game will be very close, will go down to the wire. Committed two turnovers on the season, one each in the last two games, and I don't know. I look at this defense, and I expect an ability to take the ball away from Tennessee.
Yes.
Can you be smart with it? Avoid the mistakes. You know, don't let Ty get hit from the blind side to have the football knocked out. Your Ty, you know, you've done such a good job playing smart, you know, offense, so I don't think it'll be a huge problem. But Tennessee, one turnover, Alabama, zero. You're in a beautiful spot right there. So that's my first one. Number two. Somewhat tied into what Henry said. Don't sacrifice your offense just to establish the run. I think that we've seen at times a little too much, I would argue, energy put into establishing the run. Look at how many second and eight, second and nine we had to deal with against Georgia in situations where I would have argued that, yeah, we should just throw this football here. I think that regardless of the shape that Jam is in, regardless of, you know, maybe he's going to play and be 100%. Maybe he'll play and not be all there. Or maybe he won't play regardless. I think that, you know, look, there's a reason that first down is the down where you're most likely to move the chains, right? You're so open, and I would absolutely be more willing, I think, to throw the ball than the team has been at times. And then my third key is going to be adjust accordingly to Brazel. I think that I've been very impressed with the defensive adjustments for the most part that Kane Womack's made, especially at halftime, just in games in general. Brackets and double teams exist for a reason.
Yep.
There are plenty of situations where it makes a lot of sense to utilize them. I don't think we'll be doing what Arkansas did last week and be doing it basically from the jump. Because I think Tennessee has absolutely shown an ability. You know, Braylon Staley, I was blanking on his name, like going off for 100 yards last game, I think that you have to react accordingly. Okay, Brazel's absolutely cooking us in the first half. Yeah, maybe we'll make some of the other receivers step up and make plays, but you got talented guys in the DB room. You've got guys like Damani Jackson, and you haven't looked great all year, but we still know how talented you are. So this is a big prove-it game for the Alabama secondary, and I think that the adjustments that Womack and company make on Brazel are going to be huge as far as how this game unfolds down the stretch.
Henry, he graded you. You want to grade him? He said, he said, win the turnover battle. He said, don't force the run if it's not there. And he said, adjust to Chris Brazel. You want to grade him real quick?
I like those. I like those. Solid. I mean, I think establishing the run game to a certain extent is important. But I honestly disagree with that statement that Alabama has kind of forced the run. I think they're, I'm pretty sure there's a stat out there that says they have like the 126th. I'm going to pull up the stat because I have it. But Alabama has a, where is it? 6.3 rush rate over expected. It's not a good or bad stat. It just shows how often they choose to run the ball in certain situations like down, distance, or field position compared to the average team. 126 nationally, so they like to air it out compared to the average team. But I do agree. I do see your reasoning behind that. So, yeah, pretty solid. I'll give you A+.
A+? A+. That's hard to get around here.
We're glazing here. Henry.
Absolutely, yeah. Everybody, some people, friends ask me, Joe, how's the show today? And I go, about a B, most often. About a B, you know. They're like, come on, it's better than that. I'm like, yeah, we'll see. I like that. Good stuff. You burned my first one, because I think, which is fine. It's absolutely fine. I think winning the turnover battle is crucial, because I think this defense is buns. Tennessee's defense is not good, but I think Tennessee's defense creates a lot of havoc plays with their sacks and creating turnovers. So for me, we will not say win the turnover battle. My first key was avoiding the havoc plays. We'll burn that real quick because you covered that. Great stuff. I'll disagree with you, though. I think Alabama does need to get the run game going, because Tennessee in the last two games played lots of big zone coverages, and to allow those zone coverages a little chance to succeed, the defensive backs are playing 9, 12, 13 yards off the line of scrimmage, and you're playing light boxes. You're playing six men in the box, four up front, two linebackers, and you got the hanger on, the star, the money, whatever you want to call, is not really even in the box a lot of the time. So when you see six-man boxes and you see big wide gaps on the defensive line, and you see these linebackers who are spread wide and kind of a little farther off than they should be, well, baby, you got to eat. You got to give the foot, and you got to, I don't think force the run, but you got to keep it as part of the game plan. And I think you got to keep it as the metronome that, say, I mean, I think Ty's been great this year, but the metronome that says the offense is on schedule. You don't have to force anything. We are not letting you ruin this game with a havoc play, like a sack, like a like an interception. So I think you do have to run the ball really, really well. So I'll use that as my first key. Run the ball well and take advantage of the light boxes that Tennessee shows defensively. Now, Tennessee doesn't show that all the time. They'll come back in. They'll load the box. They'll try to get after you with some pressures. Against Arkansas, they had basically mugged the linebackers and throw six, seven guys on the line of scrimmage. When that happens, you know, adjust accordingly. Ty Simpson's been great this year at getting to the line of scrimmage, diagnosing a defense and saying, we're in play A, we need to be in play B, or vice versa, and moving out. And he'll be able to do that in Bryant-Denny Stadium. The noise won't be a factor for Alabama when they're on the offense. So I think you do got to run the football really, really well in this game. And I think Tennessee gives you an opportunity to do that. Tennessee 10th in the conference in rush defense. Now Alabama 13th in the conference, allowing 156 per game. Tennessee allowing 136 per game on the ground. You got to get after them on the ground, I think, is because you get after them on the ground, it's going to make Ty Simpson's life super, super easy, because I think this defensive backfield is not good. My second big key to the game is getting Tennessee into third and long. So you play the run well defensively. early. I think that Justin Jefferson, Deontay Lawson, Tim Keenan, the James Smiths of the world are going to be huge in this game, because I do think Tennessee's running backs are very good. Deshaun Bishop's listed as probable for the game. I think they've got a really great running back duo in Deshaun Bishop and Star Thomas. Peyton Lewis kind of coming in as that change of pace hammer running back as well. So they've got some good running backs, but I think Joey Aguilar has struggled in long down and distances. I think you're going to have a hard time sacking him, but he's been not as accurate. High and wide a lot of the times when he's throwing outside. Long downs and distances, you can get to long downs and distances by playing the run well. My second key to the game is getting Tennessee into third and longs so the ball is in Joey Aguilar's hands to make decisions and make plays. And then my third key of the game is really just ride the wave. Ride the game flow. Tennessee's going to score. They're going to make big plays. Chris Brassel's going to have a big play here or there, but ride the flow of the game and adjust accordingly. Play the next play is really kind of my key to the game. If they get a sack, okay, they get a sack, you're at second and 14, second and 16. Well, we've seen Ty Simpson really be able to long down the distance. What was it? What was it against Missouri? Third and 24, you get, 12, 14 yards. It's fourth and eight, and we still go for it, and he drops it in the bucket to Lazier Brooks. So, like, ride the wave. Tennessee's going to make some plays. They're going to get some good plays offensively and defensively. Brassel might make a big play. Deshaun Bishop might rip off a 12-yard run and get them to first and 10, and you might be feeling bad about yourself. Come on, strap on the chin strap and play the next play is really my third key to the game. So I'll go establish the run, be effective in the run game, get Tennessee into third and long, putting the ball in Joey Aguilar's hands, and play the next play. Just ride the wave of the game flow. Those are my three keys to the game. Theo, you want to grade me right there, and then Henry can grade me even lower?
Yeah, you see, I thought that was solid. Nothing earth-shattering. Sure. It doesn't change my perspective on football. That's a very good, well-earned B-plus that you should be proud of.
I really liked your last take. Ride the flow of the game. You know, the way I kind of look at it, I've made this analogy a few times to a few people. Alabama's last few weeks, it kind of reminds me of a boxing match. You know, you're taking punches from these really good top 20, top 25 teams, and they're like punching back. They've punched back three times in a row now. They punched back against Georgia on the road when Georgia gave them a run. They punched back against Vanderbilt when they were down at halftime, and last week against Missouri when they were kind of on the ropes towards the end of the game. Missouri had a game-winning drive opportunity. They punched back. But the one question I have is, how many more hits can you take? You know, Tennessee is another heavyweight coming in. It's round four now. How many hits do you have left in the tank? I mean, Tennessee's coming off some tough games themselves. I mean, they played pretty close with Arkansas last week, and that wasn't a game where they could just kind of mail it in and ride to the third Saturday in October. But how many more punches does Alabama have in the tank, and can they – you know, ride the flow. I like that point. I'll give you a nice B plus. I'll go with Theo's take there.
That's why Kalen needs you. That's why Kalen all week long has been saying, be loud in the stadium, down in and down out, be loud in the stadium. So Henry, I told Theo when he's in the student section, y'all probably standing right next to each other. But when y'all are in there, it's your responsibility to, you know, police the student section. No sitting down, Sally sorority girl.
Oh, yeah, I get loud.
No sitting down, Freddie fraternity boy. It's everybody on their feet, and you especially in your blue shirt, in your Ole Miss blue shirt, you have to, if you wear a blue shirt, you can't sit down at all, even at halftime. You have to be standing up and being shamed.
Last year, I didn't get to go to any games as a fan, so this year, all the games I get to go to, I'm thoroughly enjoying them. I'm having a good time. Trust me. I will be the leader.
No, it's a new perspective as a student once you start covering, because, like, I've been thinking every time in the stadium, like, wow, I can probably count the games I'm going to on one hand now.
Yeah, really. I mean, it's a different experience, different viewing experience for sure, but.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, so Coach Kalen DeBoer has called out the Alabama fan base just a little bit in a soft way that he needs you this Saturday, because another punch is coming. let's keep things rolling here as we've been having a fun on Football Friday. We want to thank Strength Roofing and Siding for sponsoring their program. We're going to do three players to watch. Henry, since you listen every Friday, you know exactly how this goes. Who are your three players to watch for the Alabama Crimson Tide this weekend?
Yeah, so I'm actually going to start on defense. I mean, I guess, Joe, you can make the ruling, but I kind of have two guys that I think kind of fall in the same boat, so I'm just going to go with them both. Tennessee, they've only allowed 4 sacks on the season. Very, very touted offensive line. You have left tackle Lance Hurd. He's been an all-SEC guy multiple years. And Alabama's top edge rusher, LT Overton, is going to have his handful. But I think if you can get to Joey Aguilar and disrupt his rhythm a little bit, get him off balance and mess up his timing, then that's where you can really open the floodgates and, you know, put a beating on. I think that's where that opportunity comes. So I want to see that number 2 edge rusher, the guy at the wolf position, whether it's Yanze Pierre, whether it's freshman Justin Hill, I want to see one of those guys have a big, big game. Justin Hill really impressed me in the limited snaps he got against Georgia. Yanze Pierre, I'm pretty sure, directly from Chris Fowler. I mean, he's a twitched up athlete. He can get after the quarterback. But I want to see one of these guys really step up and make a play, because as much as I love LT Overton, he hasn't proven to be the greatest edge rusher at getting home to the quarterback and finishing plays through and through. Last year, what was it? He had like 10 more pressures than he had sacks. Like, that dude just could not finish a play and get a sack. So I want to see Yanze Pierre or Justin Hill have a big game. Next up, it's kind of like taking a fastball down the middle right here, but I'm going to go with Ryan Williams. I mean, we've seen him last week. He's been banged up over the stretch. I think a lot of guys are probably banged up at this point in the season. But last year, Tennessee, Ryan Williams was kind of the one guy offensively that I think really got into a rhythm and was really going. He had that touchdown. I can't remember the exact plays now, but I know that one clip went viral where he like broke Jermaine McCoy 3 times on one play, and then Milroe overthrew him at like 10 yards. I'm sure I've talked about that a million times. But I feel like last year he was like the one, like one of the only bright spots in that Alabama game where it felt like they just missed so many opportunities to win. But he was one of the guys that I looked back on and said, wow, like this guy gave it, like he really gave 100%. And I think this is his time to step up, you know? Jermaine McCoy is not the only cornerback on Tennessee. What's the other guy's name? I think his last name is like Hood or something.
You have Colton Hood.
Colton Hood, yeah.
Colton Hood and Ty Redmond with nickelback Jalen McMurray, and then obviously Boo Carter as well.
Colton Hood is like a day 2 pick. Like, he is a pretty good cornerback. I've seen big boards with him in like the 30s. Like, he is a good player. No Jermaine McCoy, like I said, but Colton Hood is very capable of taking Jeremy Bernard or taking Isaiah Horton on and limiting them. And it's crazy to say that I don't think Tennessee is going to expend a lot of their resources that they have in a secondary that hasn't proven to be that great so far. I don't think they're going to expend a lot to lock up Ryan Williams. I think Alabama has proven they can spread the ball around. I don't think they're going to play the game where they try to lock up Ryan Williams. And I think this is his game to step up. You know, it's kind of like a script. Got Tennessee coming to town. You've had a slow start to the season, but I want to see him get him. I mean, it's crazy to say he's had a slow start to the season. What, he had 180 yards, 70 yards against Wisconsin or whatever. Like, he's still putting up numbers. It's just, I feel like the low spots have been lower than most players. So yeah, I got Ryan Williams. And then number 3, I don't know.
You got the whole dang roster to choose from.
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm saying. I got a lot of guys. I'm trying to think.
Outside. As you think, here we go. Ryan Williams threw 5 games, 21 receptions, 336, and 3 touchdowns. But I agree with you. Left a lot of money on the table for Ryan Williams. All right, number 3 for Henry.
Number 3.
Spit it out. First name that came to your mind. Go.
First name that came to my mind? Oh.
Say it.
I want to see Dejon Lee have a big game. He had the game-winning interception last week. The game-clinching interception, may I say. We talked about Tennessee's passing offense at length. You guys have talked about it all week.
That's their bright spot. That's the game Tennessee wants to play. They want to spread their offense out. They want to air it out. They want to get their playmakers. They want to get the ball in their playmakers' hands. We've seen Damani Jackson and Xavien Brown struggle, like I said before. And we've seen Dijon leave and struggle. I mean, he got burned in the beginning of that FSU game. That was his first career game, though. He's got some, you know. And if there's a guy in this cornerback room to be fresh, it's got to be him. He's not like Dijon Lee's not a guy who's playing 50, 60 snaps a week. And, you know, he's a freshman. He doesn't have the years of wear and tear on him that college football will give you. I want to see Dijon Lee have a day. So, yeah, those are my guys. Yanze Pierre/Justin Hill, Ryan Williams, and Dijon Lee.
I like it. And look, you see my list?
Yes.
He did good. Yeah, not a single name off my list. Not a well
I tried
done.
To go outside the box a little bit.
Well done. Well, my list. We'll get to it. We'll see how many he burns real quick. And feel free to take any of these. I had
my three from the beginning, and I really thought at the end, as Henry was thinking, he was going to end up burning one of mine. But no. First of all, I want to say that I completely agree with the Ryan Williams take, but I don't have him as one of my key players for the same reason that I don't have anyone on my offense as a key player. I do not think that if Alabama is going to, in a hypothetical world where Alabama loses tomorrow, I would be very surprised if we look back and say, oh, the offense lost us this game. The offense to me is more of the consistent. They've established, they've proven what they can do. I have little doubt about them being able to do it against Tennessee. The defense is where the game will be won or lost, where we decide, hey, Alabama could win this game by 25 points. Oh, wait, Tennessee is tied with Alabama heading into the fourth quarter. Like, that will all be determined, I think, on the defensive side of the ball. I'm going to start in the middle with Tim Keenan. I think that, you know, look, we know what he does from a leadership perspective. That's not up for debate. He is a great piece for this roster, great piece for this culture. He hasn't had any real big signature moment on the field. I think that's coming this week.
Recovered a fumble against Vanderbilt.
Yeah, it's
fell on a fumble.
Yeah, right. I want to see him. Oh, wait, he's there. He blows up the running back in the hole. That football is out in Alabama. Like, I'm waiting for a moment like that, and I think that he's due for one. I mean, we know just how consistent his presence in there is. You know how much the improvement is. Noted nothing against London Simmons, but man, having Tim Keenan in there is a massive thing for this football team. So he's been my first player, and I think we'll see him have a huge impact on this Tennessee interior line. Number two is a guy who's kind of taking a lot of punches back against the wall right now. It's Damani Jackson. You look at, I fully expect DJ Lee to play more snaps than him this week. I fully expect, you know, we saw it happen against Mizzou. I think it'll happen again. DJ Lee has proven to be a phenomenal football player for a freshman, a guy who, I can't even comprehend how good he should be in a couple years, right?
Dijon Lee is a dog.
It's going to be unreal. But look, Damani is so talented, man. We know the potential that he has. We also know that he has in no way lived up to it, especially this year. He had moments last year where he was a very, I thought, very good cornerback. And, you know, it's now or never, it feels like, as far as your Alabama career.
Mm-hmm.
You still have another year of eligibility. You can transfer out, go somewhere, right?
I think this is his last.
I thought this is his only third year of actually playing.
Right. Well, he's been at USC as well.
Yeah, but didn't he redshirt that first year?
No. Yeah, senior. He played.
So he is a true senior.
22-23. Spent his first two seasons, played 18 total games, and now 24 and 25. So he's played 4 years.
Okay.
Yep. So I guess he can apply for maybe a Diego Pavia rule or something, but I think this is it.
Anyway. You know, this is a guy that I fully thought we'd be talking about as a potential day one NFL draft pick.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to be given some kind of responsibility against Tennessee. Mm-hmm. It'll be a lower responsibility from what you had at the start of the year. Can you make the most of it? Can you? Here are the 18 snaps I'm going to get today. I'm going to be the best player I've been for Alabama in those 18 snaps. They're not going to get a single thing on me. I'm going to prove to them, I'm going to remind everyone that I can be a valuable piece for this Alabama defense. Because if you can't, if you take this role that you're given this week and you play the way you did last week, the way you've played this season, I don't know if we will see this guy on the field regularly again in a Crimson Tide uniform.
Cam Calhoun, step right up. Deshaun Jones, step right up.
Chuck McDonald.
Yeah.
We have no shortage of players who could be getting those snaps. And if you're not going to deliver in what you have, it's out of there. I mean, it really is. And I think that I'd like to think that Domani is up for the task, but I don't know, man. There's some concerning film, concerning moments from this season. So I think I'm very interested to see what he does out there on the field. And my third guy is someone that I think most Alabama fans wish they had the ability to replace, and that is Connor Talty. You've gone on the road 3 times this year, and you missed a kick in each of them. You missed against Vanderbilt. You missed 4 field goals on the season, man. And like I've said, I expect this game to be close. I expect this game to not be fully decided when it hits the 2-minute warning, right? Do not miss a field goal at home against Tennessee. It is that simple. Connor Talty has had a pretty disastrous start to the season. You cannot. This is put up or shut up time, man. And there's no shut up option because there's no one to replace you. But like, it's been unacceptable to miss field goals. I'm sure every, you know, I've been told by everyone that, oh, this is what Alabama football used to be like, never being able to trust a kicker. And man, I don't know how people do it. Will Reichert is, we're a long way from that era, but look, just lock in, man. I want to say lock in, but just don't miss a kick against the Volunteers. Because people, if you think people are going after you now, Connor Talty, they are going to be on you at a whole nother level if you don't deliver this game. That's all.
I love it. Theo Fernandez going with Tim Keenan, Damani Jackson, and Connor Talty. So y'all left me really with the pick of the litter here. I had a list of 12 or 13, and I think I only erased one or two. So I'm going to boil this down here. I think your number one player to watch. I think your number one player to watch is Justin Jefferson. Because I think that stopping the Tennessee running game to get them into third and long and then cover the pass is essential. And I think picking the right gaps, playing the right gaps is really key this week. Kane Walmart's been very, very aggressive, especially trying to stop the running game. Every player has to be in the right gap. If one player is not in the right gap, you are subject to, you know, seamage, subject to, big holes. And I think Tennessee is going to be searching for big holes in the running game to take pressure off Joey Aguilar and to allow them to take big shots on second and short, on third and short. And so I think Justin Jefferson is probably the biggest and most important player for Alabama. I mean, 1B, Deontay Lawson, but we're taking Justin Jefferson as the most important player for Alabama right here in this game. Big came up big against Vanderbilt, 14 tackles, 4 fumble and a sack. Also had little bit of issues against Vanderbilt, not decent against Missouri, a little bit of issues against Missouri. If he plays well, this defense can get off the field. So I think Justin Jefferson is my number one player to watch. Number two, I'm taking James Smith in the same vein as Henry's get after the passer and stop the run. I think James Smith, we heard about him all summer. You're the man. You're the disruptor. You make havoc plays. Came in the second half against Vanderbilt and really, really played well. I think played B plus or so against Missouri. I think James Smith can be really, really effective here in slowing down the Tennessee run game and affecting Joey Aguilar on third and long. So I think James Smith is my number two player to watch. Number three, I'm taking Caden Proctor because I think to Henry's key to the game, you got to give Ty Simpson some time. And I think both the tackles, right and left tackle, are extremely important. I think you will see Michael Carroll end up playing starting right tackle, and I think you'll see Wilkin rotating in, and I think you'll see Wilkin rotating in at right guard. But I think that Michael Carroll is probably going to start at right tackle. I think the tackles are extremely important because Tennessee's edge rushers are pretty dang good, and they generate a lot of blitz. They do a lot of stunts, a lot of blitzing, a lot of games, a lot of twists. And so the tackles are going to have to be communicating with the guards. And so we might as well take the premier tackle in the game, and that is Caden Proctor for my third player to watch. I'm going to steal an honorable mention here. I do think Jam's going to play. Obviously listed last night as probable on the injury report. Going to be listed as probable again tonight on the injury report. I do think Jam will play, but I don't think it's going to be the full Jam Miller experience. I think Daniel Hill is going to get a lot of run. I think Daniel and Kevin Riley are going to get a lot of run, and I think Daniel Hill has a huge opportunity in this game. Tennessee's rush defense, I don't think is really that strong. I think their defense relies on havoc plays. I don't think their secondary and their linebackers tackle well, and so let's get this big old back out into the second level and really see him breaking tackles and busting guys up in the second level. I think Daniel Hill has himself probably his best game in an Alabama uniform this Saturday with the opportunities that he might get. I think Jam will play, but I think they're going to kind of limit him just a little bit just based on precautionary. And I think that Daniel Hill is fully healthy and they like him. So I'm going to go off the wall and take Daniel Hill as my wild card. There's your three players to watch. You've got Theo with Connor Talty, Devontae Jackson, and Tim Keenan. You got Henry with Dejon Lee, Ryan Williams, and Yonzi Pierre. You got me with Justin Jefferson, James Smith, and Caden Proctor, stealing a wild card honorable mention with Daniel Hill. Well, fellas, we've had a lot of fun. We've talked with Caleb Sisk of Vols on SI. We thank him for his time. You follow Henry Sklar at Henry O. Sklar on the Twitter machine. Theo Fernandez at Theo Fernandez _. You call Strength Roofing and Siding at 205-858-9050 for your free roof inspection. I guess it's time to make some picks, fellas.
Let's do it.
Woo! Big, huge slate of college football this weekend. And let's get right into it. We're throwing the first game at you, Henry. We're just doing round robin just like we've been doing. LSU at Vanderbilt, a 2.5-point home favorite. You taking the fight in Diego Pavias?
I got the Commodores in their spread. I think LSU has been shaky so far, and Vanderbilt proved a lot when they came here. Even, you know, despite the loss, they showed they're a real team. They're a team to be reckoned with. I got Vandy 2.5.
Well, we're picking the outright winners, right?
But yeah, sure. Okay. Yeah. Pick the spread if you want to be bold like Henry.
I'll go against the spread, but I'll do both. Also. Okay.
Yeah, Henry's being bold. You should match him.
Well, if you want to make $1 million, you should build a parlay with everything I'm about to say.
And, be careful.
I think you could be get sued, man.
Yeah, exactly. Be careful. Be careful. Gamble at your own risk, but we will give you picks against the spread.
I will. First of all, man, I've watched a lot of college football over my life, and if you would have ever told me that LSU would be going into a game at Vanderbilt as the underdog, while LSU is a ranked team, I would have been astounded. And I like this Vanderbilt team, man. It's a good story. I like Pavi a lot, but this is where we're going to see. How much is LSU really a contender, or are they? Oh, it was a fun story. It was cool they were ranked. They'll play in a cool bowl game this year, but not much. And unfortunately, I think it's the latter. I've not been blown away by LSU this year, but I do think that they will pull away down the stretch of this game and, you know, keep their college football playoff hopes really alive and well as a one loss team.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Theo there. I'm taking LSU by 3.
I don't go too deep into Vandy on a Bama podcast, but like, I don't know. Like, I feel like if Vandy was not a team built to win a game like this, they would have sat down and folded last week. And that was what mostly impressed me, or 2 weeks ago when they played Alabama. They played to the whistle, man. Like, that team did not. Like,
they didn't quit, but they weren't good enough.
They were clearly an overmatched team. And, you know, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe LSU has similar levels of talent to Alabama. They're just going to go in there and they're going to boggle down Vanderbilt and just slowly put them away.
Yep. But
I don't know. Like, it's something about that Vanderbilt team that's just like, they really could have beaten Alabama. Like, they could have won that.
Yeah, they could have.
I think they could have won that game. They were up at halftime. Like,
it was tied at halftime.
Yeah.
Because Ty Simpson, 2 minute drill.
Alabama was clearly the better team.
Right. Maybe you guys are right, but like, I'm not.
Vandy's
like,
a nice little story.
Shy away from picking Vanderbilt.
Hey, that's good. Be bold. Stand on the island. We support that. And I'm not condemning that, but I think that Vanderbilt is a tough, nice team, plays hard. But LSU's defense is their strength. They're going to be able to limit Diego just a little bit, give their offense enough chances, and it's going to be 27-24. It's going to be an ugly ass win. It's going to be 24-21. It's going to be 17-14. It's going to be an ugly win.
Nuss is going to throw an atrocious pick.
Right. So I like your pick, Henry. I'm not slamming on you. But I think that the LSU just going to pull out an ugly win. We'll keep it rolling here. Next week's opponent, South Carolina, is at home. Oklahoma at South Carolina. Oklahoma, a 5.5-point road favorite. Henry Sklar.
I got Oklahoma here. I think they're going to cover and win. Not much to say about South Carolina. It's just not the team that most people thought they'd be in the preseason.
Boomer!
The Shane Beamer experience is alive and well. First of all, I have to say, completely predicted this all summer, saying that they would lose games early. But what does this guy do when his back's against the wall and, oh, South Carolina's average? Now they rattle off a bunch of wins. What version of John Mateer are we going to get? How healthy is this guy? What is he capable of doing this week? I don't know. What I do know is that South Carolina loves to lose games they shouldn't and then win games that they shouldn't after they've lost a bunch. So I really like this. I certainly like the South Carolina +5.5 if I was a betting man, but I really do think that we're going to see this Gamecocks team go out, win this game, and all of a sudden they're 4-3 with momentum heading into, you know, a game with an Alabama team, and we're kind of right back where we were last year, right, with the sneaky South Carolina team coming in. So, yeah, I like the Gamecocks here to win this one.
South Carolina last week at LSU losing. They're going to win one of these games against one of these top 15 teams, top 10 teams, Oklahoma, Alabama, Ole Miss, and Texas A&M next up on their murderer's row. Lord, don't let it be us. Don't let it be us. I think that Oklahoma wins this game, but I do think South Carolina is winning one of these games, and it's going to be, oh, Shane Beamer's got him turned around. We got to give him more time, give him another year. Next year is going to be the South Carolina year. They'll be the playoff team. I'm with you on the what's John Mateer's health status. I think Oklahoma's defensive line is really, really good. They're going to get after Lenoris a little bit. I think it's going to be a really close game, so I don't love the 5.5. I will take Oklahoma to win, but South Carolina to cover at home. And I'm very concerned as they lose two games. Alabama going in next week, everybody overconfident. Oh, well, we're better than LSU, better than Oklahoma. Yada, yada, yada. We're going to take care of them easy. And South Carolina, that's the one. Oh, I'm nervous about that. But I do think that South Carolina is largely a poorly coached football team. Firing an offensive line coach this week. I think that Oklahoma is going to win. But South Carolina will give you a little grace and a little bit of credit. I think they'll cover. We'll keep going. Texas A&M is at Arkansas, 7.5-point home, 7.5-point road favorite. Henry, are you brave enough to take the Hogs?
At Arkansas?
At Arkansas.
Yeah, I got Texas A&M in this one. I've been a Marcel Reed truther since the day he stepped on the field. I think he's one of the best quarterbacks in the country. He's a guy that I fully expect to be in New York at this point in time.
Woo!
Yeah, I got Texas A&M.
Gig him.
One of the best QBs.
I will take Arkansas. I probably wouldn't touch that game if I was a betting man, but I would take Arkansas to cover at least.
There we go.
One of the best QBs in the country is playing in this game, and his name is Talen Green.
Oh.
I am a Talen Green truther. I think that I don't really know how to read this A&M team yet.
I know how to read.
How do you
zero read? Losses.
Zero losses. Yeah. The signature win over a pretty average Notre Dame team. Like, I just, I'm not super high on them. And man, Bobby P rides again. I think that Arkansas goes, wins this game at home. They've shown fight, right? Like, they have shown an ability to compete with teams. Joe just pulled up the A&M scores, and what on this schedule is impressive?
It's college football.
What on this schedule is impressive?
You win games.
Was it the 16-10 win where Auburn went like 0-for-13 on third downs?
You win games.
Was it the 31 points?
Didn't they need
home?
A pick six to win that game?
Yeah,
A&M?
Like, they were completely unimpressive against Auburn.
I'm rolling with you, Woo Pig Suey.
You beat Mississippi State. This is the one. Didn't look that good.
Wasn't Texas A&M really, really highly starting to gain some momentum, highly ranked last year when they went to Auburn and Auburn ended up beating them?
This happens every single year. This team will find a way to lose four games.
It's Mike Elko, man. It's the Mike Elko time.
Get
it's
Bobby a motorcycle, time, man, and let the Hogs be called.
Nah, Mike Elko, man. I like him here.
All right. Well, there we go. It's fun to have somebody on an island. You're on the island with Texas A&M. You're on the island with the favorite, so you should feel good. You should feel good about that.
I feel great about these games. I'm waiting for the juicy matchups, though.
These are all juicy.
I think the Arkansas game has so much juice to it.
Ole Miss is at Georgia. So my dad asked me last night, well, what do you think about this game? I said, Dad, I haven't thought much about it because, you know, they're Georgia people. Georgia, home favorite, 7.5 points. Will this be the Lane Kiffin that we all know and love crashing the Lane train wrecking in Athens?
Nah, I'm sticking with the favorites trend. And honestly, I'm taking UGA to cover. I think this is going to be a classic Georgia game script, man. Like,
so yes, Lane will crash is what you're saying.
There's going to be like Trinidad, like he's going to have a crazy play in the first half. Ole Miss is going to have all the momentum. They're going to be up like 10 points. And then all of a sudden, we're calling the dogs and the dogs just start coming and all of a sudden their defense is firing and all of a sudden Gunnar Stockton is scrambling for first downs. I got Georgia in this one, 7.5.
As much as I would love to ride the Lane train, I unfortunately have to agree with you, Henry.
Do it every game. Like, unless they're playing Alabama, they do it every like important game. They go down and then they go. It's just crazy.
Like, especially at home, like this is just not a game that Kirby Smart loses. See, I think Ole Miss, and first of all, they did look very bad last week against Washington State. Second off, I think Georgia probably wins this by 2 to 3 scores.
Yeah, I think the Lane train is jumping the tracks this week, and Georgia is going to win for sure. We're going to go all three of us on the Bulldogs and 7.5.
I would love to be wrong on that one, man. I know it.
Well, I mean, you beat Georgia last year, Ole Miss. You're not going to be able to do it again. I'm sorry. That's just, I don't know. Does anybody care about Mississippi State at Florida? Florida, a 9.5-point favorite?
I think there's what other games you got?
We're rolling through them. All the SEC games, USC, Notre Dame, and you guys called for the Holy War. Do you care about
some other good games though? Or can we throw Louisville and Miami in there?
No,
we have to.
Miami's going to beat the brakes off of them.
I mean, I would agree. Well, I guess we kind of just
there you go. We just picked it. Everybody's taking Miami. Come on, we're on Mississippi State and Florida. We're SEC. Come on, you're bogging us down. You're bogging us down.
This is in Mississippi, right?
It's at Florida. Oh, it's 9.5-point home favorite. Gators, right over left.
Listen, I've seen the message. I've seen the message board post this week. The boosters want Billy out. This is going to be a Mississippi State win.
Hmm.
Now, Billy is like a cockroach, man.
You cannot kill him.
He endures.
Right over left.
Let Mississippi State squish him, man. He wins this game. They're going to win a couple more games this year. He's going to keep his job with Lagway next year.
Yeah, you cannot go out on the media and leak, we're going to fire him this weekend because Florida's going to win. They're going to turn around and win and ruin your plans. Texas is at Kentucky. Come on, Henry, let's go faster. Texas is at Kentucky. You taking Texas might at 13.5? Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Hook 'em horns, all three of us.
Texas
and the spread. All right, here we go. USC is at Notre Dame. Notre Dame, 9.5-point home favorite. Holy, did I write that down right?
Did
he? Yeah, no, that's the line. 9.5 points.
Golly. Hell to old Notre Dame. What you thinking?
So
wake up the echoes praising her name.
I'm a big Notre Dame.
You're bogging us down. Let's go fast.
No. Come on. Let me I have a lot to say about this game.
We don't care. We've gone an hour and change. Let's go.
All right. Give me South Carolina. or SC. Give me Southern Cal.
He can't handle the pressure, man. He's just not built for it.
Give me Southern Cal to win outright.
Southern Cal to win. You want to say one more sentence on it? You can. But I do want us to go a little, get a little more energetic here. That's all I'm asking for.
Run the football.
No, I agree. I think Notre Dame is an underwhelming team. I think USC, Lincoln Riley, we're back. Lincoln Riley's had his best coaching job in a while this year, and I like USC to win this game, continue to pick a momentum in the Big Ten.
You know, this is a perfect place for USC to let it down, so I'm taking Notre Dame. I don't know about that 9.5. I think USC covers the 9.5, but Notre Dame wins. Missouri is at Auburn, 1.5-point road favorites for the Tigers. Eli Drinkwitz, they're going to bounce back, or is this the spot that Hugh Freeze starts to turn things around, Henrich Galar?
I got drinking the boys.
Here we go. You can say another sentence. I just wanted the energy up a little bit. That's all.
Actually, I'm having some second thoughts. I think this is an Auburn game right here. I think this is the type of game Missouri loses. Auburn's due. Someone texted me yesterday. They've only won 4 SEC home games in like the last 3 years.
If you're a senior there, good, you've seen 4 wins. Man.
Good Lord. I think they've got to get like this. They're due for a win here. Like, I got Auburn.
This is a fascinating game to me because it's a crossroads in so many ways. This is where the wheels come off the track for Hugh Freeze if you lose. Meanwhile, if you win, you bought yourself a lot of time. Mizzou, this is your best shot at going to a college football playoff in forever, right? You could pull it off.
Ever.
Yeah.
Literally ever.
You win this game, you're 6-1. All you have to do is win 4 more games. I think they win this game. I think, you know, Drinkwitz gets it done. But, man, if you are Auburn, talk about a direction of the program hinges on this football game. This is a big one.
It's a huge game, but you guys know that I love Eli Drinkwitz, and I think that Ahmad Hardy's still a really good running back. I know Alabama limited him last week, but I think that they're going to in there, and they're going to pummel Auburn. It will be a very physical game. I'm going to take Missouri. I'll take them with the 1.5. I think they're going to win by 10 points on the road, and all the Auburn faithful are going to go home sad. Utah is at BYU, the Holy War. Utah, 3.5-point road favorite. Henry Sklar, I don't know jack about the Utes.
Very disappointed that this is a 7 p.m. kick, first of all. I would have loved to watch this game. You know, I've been a truther of both Kyle Whittingham and Kalani Sitake for a long, long time.
Good job on the pronunciation. Continue.
I am a big fan of the Utah football programs. I have a lot of respect for them both. Who is going to be the team to challenge Texas Tech in the Big 12? That's what we're going to find out here. Mm-hmm. And I took an upset before, but I'm gonna keep rolling with the favorites here. I like Kyle Whittingham. I like Utah. I think at home, Utah, Rice Nichols, is that the name of their stadium? Rice Nichols, I think, is one of the hardest places to play in the country.
Except they're playing at BYU, Lavelle Elder Stadium.
Oh, well, it doesn't change my mind. I mean, and they're playing, the game's in Provo. Yeah, I still got Utah -3.5 winning the game. Yeah.
Bear Bachmeyer's been balling, man. You put a QB in number 47. I love it.
It is drip.
That is drip.
I am very big on this BYU team program. I think they are. You say who's going to challenge Texas Tech? I don't think anyone will. I think Texas Tech will roll through the Big 12, but I think BYU is the second best team, and they get it done pretty handily here today.
Yeah, I'll take the Cougars at home. We'll take a home underdog in a rivalry game most of the time. So I'll take BYU. All right, Henry, do I have your permission to go to Alabama, Tennessee, or do you have another game on your list that you think we should pick?
Michigan, Washington.
Oh, my God. Title game horrible. Rematch.
Washington.
Title game rematch.
Why do we even care?
In the Big House? Come on.
Why do we even care?
College football playoff, national championship game 2 years ago.
All right, pick it. Go fast.
I got Washington to cover. And win.
It's not even on the top. Neither team is ranked. Neither team is ranked.
Washington is a 5-1 team. Being to Ohio State. I do agree they should be ranked.
11 a.m. right there. Michigan 4.5-point home favorites. There, I found it. You're taking Washington on the road?
Yes.
All right. You?
I'll take Washington on the road.
All right. Just for Giggles. I'll take Michigan right there. 4.5 points. The Fighting Justice Haynes. Bryce Underwood not been as good as advertised, but freshman. Come on, give him a chance to grow. Give him a chance to get into the game and grow. All right, guys, we're at the business end, so you can have more than one sentence here because this is the game we actually care about. Henry, give us your final thoughts. Alabama taking on Tennessee tomorrow night, 6:30, Bryant-Denny Stadium. You can get all the coverage right here on Bama Central, BamaCentral.com. Alabama Crimson Tide on SI. It'll be on ABC. You can listen to it on Crimson Tide Sports Network. Alabama, an 8.5-point home favorite. Your final thoughts and your pick. Finish the show, Henry. What do you think about this game?
Man, this is going to be my third Saturday in October. Very excited to be there for this game. Love, this is probably my favorite rivalry in the sport, honestly. Like, Tennessee, Alabama, like, I think it's pure hatred between both sides. I mean, they've both been very competitive.
Understatement.
They've both been very competitive for very long stretches in their history. So whenever these two teams meet, you know, and I think... Honestly, I made this take to my former boss, Tony Sicalis, last year. Third Saturday in October is like the season's changing for me. Like, this is when it's officially fall, in my opinion. You know, the leaves are coming down. You throw on some, you know, Allman Brothers Band, you know, you drink some beers and eat some barbecue with your friends at the tailgate. And like, this is just like, this is SEC football heritage right here. Like, this is why we play the game. This is why we play.
So who are you picking? Come on.
So who am I picking? We've talked at length about this game today.
More than one sentence.
So I'm not going to go
an essay, man.
So I'm not going to go deep into it, but I got Alabama. I think it's going to be a backdoor cover type of game. It's going to be, I think they're going to cover the 8.5, but very backdoor, like similar to the way they did against
Alabama.
Alabama. Yes. Okay. 8.5 is a lot of points, and that scares me. You know, a lot of people, I think everyone thinks it's going to be close. I think it's going to be close, but I got Bama here. It's just, you know, they've showed too much. But
you want to nail yourself down on a score or just the spread?
Score.
Because I got one in mind. Go ahead.
I think this game, I think it's going to be like 34-24.
Henry Sklar, Alabama wins and covers. Theo Fernandez, what are your final thoughts on this matchup?
I'm not going to give us any breakdowns on the seasons or the weather in my football take. I will give us, look, we've talked so much about it the last 2 days, really all week. I think that Alabama should win this game. I think you should feel very disappointed as an Alabama fan if you don't win this game. The rivalry aside, right? Because obviously, as much as it would hurt to lose the game, which, quick note, the consensus among people my age is that we hate Tennessee more than Auburn. I mean, I've not seen Alabama lose to Auburn as an Auburn fan. I've seen, you know, Tennessee have all this success. So it really is a thing where Tennessee, in my eyes, is they're the football team that I dislike the most. And a lot of people in college right now agree with it, which, you know, we weren't around to see the 17 straight wins as diehard fans. I like Alabama. I got my final score at 38-27. I think Tennessee has the ball, driving with a couple minutes to go, probably gets stopped. Maybe they score, make it like 38-34, and then Alabama runs down. But I think it'll be that type of game. Crimson Tide should take care of business, should keep the home winning streak alive. Man, that'll be a fascinating show on Monday if they can't.
Henry Sklar, the Tennessee Volunteers made me want to say the nastiest curse words in the book. I'm sorry. It just makes me want to ruin this show by getting all kinds of, oh, you shouldn't have said that word, Joe. Yeah, that's what it makes me think of. So I am so excited about this game, feeling all the feels. And I'm, how big a score do I want to make? 100-0? No, Tennessee's going to score some points. And it's going to be a lot of fun in Bryant-Denny Stadium. The winning streak does survive. I think the Alabama defense will make adjustments in the second half, in the second half, as we've seen Cade Womack. But I do think that Tennessee's got a lot of answers. And I think Tennessee's offense is extremely balanced. But I have confidence in Alabama's offensive line to keep Ty upright and keep Ty really able to dissect the defense. I think their secondary is awful. I think their secondary is just putrid, honestly. And I think their second level linebackers are average as all get out. So I think Alabama's offense is going to do well. I'm going to go Alabama 40. I'll go Alabama 42. I'm going to go Alabama 42-28. Oh, yeah. I'm going to go 42-28, but I'm really not surprised if it's 42-24 because I think that Alabama's off defense is going to start making adjustments and make things really, really tough on Aguilar. Yeah, 42-28 feels about right for me. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. I will not be smoking cigars because it's bad for me. It makes my head hurt, and I've never been able to do it properly. So you guys enjoy all the cigars for me, and we're going to have a lot of fun. It's going to be a late night in Bryant Denny Stadium. I'm echoing Kalen DeBoer's sentiment. I'll have to sit there like a church boy, like a choir boy in the press box. But please unload every expletive in the book all the time while they're on offense. I mean, not really. If there's kids around you, be a little more controlled. But goodness gracious, I hope that everybody that goes to Bryant Denny Stadium is going to be off the rails, unhinged. Because yeah, Henry, as you said, the hatred runs very deep in me. It's going to be a lot of fun. I'm taking 42-28 Alabama. You guys will follow Henry Sklar, Henry O. Sklar, Theo Fernandez at Theo Fernandez _. Follow Caleb Sisk. We appreciate him joining us at Caleb Sisk _. He's going to be covering it for Vols on SI. I'll be at Joe Gaither 6. We'll all be in Bryant Denny Stadium in some form or fashion, having a lot of fun as Alabama takes on Tennessee on the third Saturday in October. We appreciate Derek Daniel for sponsoring the program. We appreciate Strength Roofing and Siding for sponsoring the program as well. I know my man Zach Guffey is going to be in the stadium. He told you yet on Wednesday that he's going to be playing right there on the lawn in front of Bryant Denny Stadium before the game. So if you're hearing dulcet tones and fun music right outside Bryant Denny Stadium, it is Zach Guffey of Strength Roofing and Siding. So make sure you call them at 205-858-9050. He'll come out and give you a free roof inspection, let you know what you need in your home if you're good to go. And we're good to go. We'll talk to you on Monday right here on the Joe Gaither Show on Bama Central and BamaCentral.com.
Thanks for joining us on today's edition of the Joe Gaither Show on Bama Central. Keep up with Joe on all his social media pages at JoeGaither6. Subscribe, rate, and review the show on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. And be sure to read us daily at BamaCentral.com.